I really don't know who put all of this in motion to have an annual celebration of the Passion Week and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but it certainly is appropriate. What a Savior we have. And we read out of John's Gospel in the scripture lesson this morning. It is amazing, in all of my reading, probably over 100 times through the Gospels, I never noticed the big difference between John's record of the occasion of what is called the triumphal entry and the other three Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John ties the whole thing into the raising of Lazarus from the dead. If you'll notice that a great miracle had occurred and numbers of people were there to witness it. And Jesus was not in a hurry as he arrived on the scene. He went then to the grave site and then he prayed a very brief prayer. And then there are those momentous words as he stood, Lord of life, Lord of death, Lord of everything, even before the work of the cross. He was still Lord because he made it all. And he cried out, Lazarus, come out of there. Now that's my paraphrase. Lazarus, come out. Come forth. Come out. And out came this form of grave clothes. And he had to say, well, let him loose. They were all bound up. They didn't put them in clothing like we do in a casket in America and just lie them down. He was just wrapped around with spices and he was all, I don't know how he did come forth, but evidently he was able to. And he came out of there and they unwrapped him. He was alive. He had been in the grave 4 days. It was protested already. He stinks. He smells. And it's too late. But it wasn't too late, because it's never too late with the Lord of life. He called him forth. And many were believing on the Lord Jesus when they saw this. And John calls it a sign, an indicator of God's divine presence, God's supernatural working among men. Aren't you glad that we serve a supernatural God? And his working is supernatural, and they witnessed this thing. It was beyond what man could do. There was no way to account for it by natural occurrences. And out came this dead man alive. Now, the day of what we call the triumphal entry began about 2 miles away east of Jerusalem, in a place called Bethphage, near Bethany, which was Lazarus' home village. 2 disciples went to get a colt on which Jesus would ride into Jerusalem. And a multitude of disciples joined them. Now, a multitude, read the text carefully, a multitude of disciples, those who were already followers of the Lord Jesus, were there present. This thing that Jesus did in raising Lazarus from the dead did not escape notice. And there were a large number of believers that were there. But as you read the text, and they're headed toward Jerusalem, a multitude, I would call it a mixed multitude, comes out of Jerusalem to join them. Jesus is riding on the colt, and there's a multitude there, and children crying out, Hosanna, and so on. And Jesus gets a recognition, a public recognition of who he really is, the Son of David, the King of Israel, and Hosanna. To him, worship and praise and adoration and exaltation was given to him on that day. But that did not make it a triumphant day. Because as this was gathering momentum, the religious leaders back in Jerusalem got together and they said, we cannot allow this to go on. The whole world is going after this man. We have got to stop this. And a part of all of this intrigue was Satan entering personally into the body of Judas. All of this was taking place in momentous days. So the event was instilling even more fear and animosity in the heart of the Jewish leaders, and especially those who headed up the religious sects. And they were, all the religious sects were included in this. They had to get rid of him. So instead of this really being a triumphant entry, it led to his crucifixion. That was the ultimate outcome of the day. It only had the appearance of triumph. Good news. The real triumph came 3 days after they crucified him. Yes, that was the real triumph. There was no one that could undo anything that Jesus was about to do after the resurrection. There was no vote of any council. There was no government. There was no government leader, no governor. There was nobody could touch him after that day. Absolutely amazing, the transformation. Now, it's interesting also that Jesus knew exactly what is going on. John is really the personal epistle. It just makes Jesus Christ down personal to us. He was gathered with his disciples in that upper room. And it said, before the feast of the Passover, knowing that his hour had come. And I looked that up, and it just, first of all, knowing, it's the idea he had mentally grasped, he perceived, he understood. He knew exactly everything that was taking place, where it was going to lead, who was involved, what would happen and what the outcome would be. He knew all of this. Jesus knowing that his hour had come. But that's quite an expression. Knowing that the hour of his had come. Now an hour is a window of time. It's a small window of time in which a number of things can take place. And the work of the cross happened in that hour. It began with his betrayal. It then proceeded with his crucifixion on the cross, his condemnation and crucifixion. And then 3 days in the tomb, and then out from the grave he arose. All of that in that hour. He knew that that hour had come. Now you talk about mixed emotions. The horror of a holy, sinless Lamb of God being corrupted, being identified, personally assuming and taking the sins of the world. But the writer of Hebrews says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame and the suffering. What a Savior. The awfulness of it. The joy of it. But it is the pinpoint in human history that changes God's relationship forever with those who will come to Him in faith. It changes the outcome of human history because He now assumes not only kingship by right of creation, but by right of redemption He does, by right of repurchase. It's all His. It's all His. His hour had come. Knowing this, grasping this, knowing the implications of this, knowing everything that's going on in this, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Do you think about that? The Father had given all things into His hands, but He was given into the hands of wicked people. Peter said, by your wicked hands you nailed Him on the cross and you crucified Him. But God raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand. So, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, it was all His because of His willingness to become our Savior, the Lamb of God. He defined the provision of His love for His own in this ordinance. Let me give you a paraphrase which summarizes all four gospel narratives. All right? As they were eating, sitting around that table, they weren't sitting on chairs, they would recline on pillows on the floor. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the like manner, after the supper, he took a cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you," and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This cup which is poured out for you is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." So, we don't celebrate a religious holiday. We celebrate the triumph of our Savior in taking us to the cross. Not only our sins, He took us along with them. Taking us to the cross in a great judgment, us and our sins, to forever put us out of the hand of the wicked one, to forever deliver us from the ravages and punishments and judgments of sin, and to place us into His kingdom, into His family, sons and daughters of God, possessors of eternal life. What a Savior. If you will, we're going to just let you go. They sang a hymn and they went out. But before you go out, Brother Steve, could you make yourself available in the parlor for those who want to be a part of what Brother Ray is doing? Get their names, a piece of paper, get some things put together there. So if you're going to be a part of what's happening this week, please make your way to the parlor. I'll let you go before so you don't get caught. And any others that want to go to be a part of this, you can leave now if you wish or leave later. But we need to put some things together in a schedule that will work out this week. Just delighted at the opportunities God is giving us. Looking forward to a great Sunday. Pray through the week. Pray for those that go out. I was earnestly praying yesterday as we had folks out on the streets that the hand of God would be seen. God would open hearts. God knows who needs the message, where they are, and we want to touch them if we can. But that takes the supernatural work of God for that to happen. Pray through this week. Pray for our Wednesday night service. We're in our Bible doctrine study, having a great time. But next Sunday, Easter Sunday, have you got your five people? Are you praying for them? Make that your prayer list. I know some of you have invited folks who might come, so we need to pray that God will touch hearts, and we'll have an evangelistic service, Lord willing, on Easter Sunday morning. Great time to preach the gospel, amen? And so bring your friends. It's the one time of the year. Take some invitations as you go, and let's do what we can to see if God won't use us in some way. Now, the results are up to God, but it's our business to do everything we can, yes? And then we know God will bless us in all of this. God bless you as you go, and go in prayer.